Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In rural Afghanistan, away from the chaos of Kabul, the Taliban takeover, or re-takeover, has prompted indifference or even welcome by villagers. For them, the U.S. pullout means peace after 20 years of war killed more than 47,000 Afghan civilians. Yaroslav Trofimov of the Wall Street Journal has been sitting down with rural Afghans, and he joins us. Yaroslav, welcome to Here and Now.
Great to be on the show.
Yaroslav, you went to a place called Baraki Barak. Can you situate this place for us? What does it look like? What's the toll of 20 years of war?
Yeah, it's a valley south of Kabul, about an hour and a half drive now that you can drive. And it's a lush place, and it has been one of the hotbeds of the Taliban insurgency for much of the 20-year U.S. Presence in the country. And it was impossible to go there as a civilian just a month and a half ago. So now, all of a sudden, there's peace there. And that's a great change, because every day for the last two decades, most of the last two decades, there was fighting in one or another of the villages there, fighting with the American forces that used to have a base there, fighting with the Afghan forces, Afghan commandos. And in fact, it was the site of the one of the very last night raids of the war just 4 days before the fall of Kabul.
And so you went there. How did the people there talk about the peace now? Is it just the absence of this daily fighting that you describe? Are they welcoming the Taliban?
Well, it's one of these places where there was fighting precisely because the Taliban have a strong degree of local support and were able to maintain this insurgency despite, you know, the U.S. military surge, despite repeated offensives by the Afghan army. So a lot of local villagers agree with, you know, the conservative social codes of the Taliban. And the ones who don't agree, a lot of them, sort of, people who used to be caught in the crossfire, the absence of this crossfire is life-changing. All of a sudden, you know, they no longer have to be afraid when they go to the market, they travel to Kabul. They can be in their fields at night without being struck by an airstrike or by, you know, by Taliban mortars or IEDs. So it's life-altering to a much greater extent than it is for the people of Kabul, where the change has been mostly negative because Kabul didn't really experience war. And for the citizens of Kabul, many of whom are educated, much more liberal than the Taliban, the Taliban takeover meant the sort of decreasing freedoms, and has meant that, you know, women can no longer work, have to cover up, you know, girls can no longer go to school in the middle of high school. So it's a lot of negatives. However, in some of these villages, this sense of sudden peace outweighs all these other changes.
Yeah, you mentioned this strong local support in the place you went to. For the Taliban, does that include this cultural worldview that is aligned, say, on the role of women?
Well, you know, the Taliban are not monolithic. So the views on the role of women in places like Kandahar in the south and in places like Baraki Barak, which is within the pool of Greater Kabul, are different. The local Taliban commander there told me, you know, women are allowed to be in the streets without a male guardian. It's not a problem, though it's desirable to have one. You know, women are allowed to go to high schools, even though not have been opened yet because the Taliban Ministry of Education hasn't allowed that yet. And the Taliban there were locals. Most of them were from that area and have been there for a very long time.
Yeah. Now, I just wonder, and you have some great specific illustrative quotes in your story. One of them from a village elder says, "When someone doesn't feel danger, doesn't fear war, and can walk with a peace of mind, he's happy, even when he is hungry." I wonder if you have another kind of anecdote or conversation about this that really stays with you.
Right. Well, you know, this war also took a very dramatic economic toll. You know, people talked about, you know, their cows being struck during the night raids or in the fighting. People are quite poor, so for them, a cow is livelihood. You know, people talk about the doors because, you know, they live in mud homes. So when a door that is expensive for an average family there gets damaged in night raid, that's a huge cost that many cannot afford. And obviously there are medical costs. You know, I spoke to a villager who had to borrow a fantastical sum of money, you know, thousands of dollars, which for rural Afghanistan is unimaginable.
Yeah.
Because he and his son were injured in one of his last night raids.
Wow. Now, you were reporting in a certain Taliban stronghold. I imagine other rural areas might be a little different. Are there places where villagers might fear the iron fist of the Taliban?
Well, exactly. I mean, it's sort of there's an inversion of roles now. So the places that used to be the most insecure are now the most secure, such as Baraki Barak. And the places that used to be safe, such as the Panjshir Valley, are now the least safe, because that's where the Taliban never had much local support. This was always the stronghold of resistance. And this Panjshir Valley even tried to resist after the fall of Kabul. Mm. That didn't work out very well. The Taliban massed their forces and entered it at the end of the first week of September. And so there you see a very different picture. You see shuttered storefronts. You see people trying to leave. The very few are still there. And there are more Taliban fighters than civilians there. And those Taliban there are not locals. They all came from far away, don't speak local language in many cases, and really don't treat the population nicely.
And instances of outright retribution in places like the Panjshir Valley?
Well, in Panjshir, so what happened is that when the Taliban came to Kabul, they announced an amnesty. And though there have been cases of retribution against some former security officials, that is so far an exception rather than the rule. We're talking about dozens, maybe hundreds in the country of 40 million people. In Panjshir, it was different because the Panjshir resistance refused this amnesty and engaged in a fight, in an armed resistance, which the Taliban crushed with overwhelming force. With the use of air power, they sent combat helicopters to strafe that resistance. And people were killed, and people are still being killed there. We're talking about probably hundreds. There have been no reports, credible reports, of mass killings of civilians, but certainly people who are fighters have been executed.
Okay. And finally, you know, from far away, Americans can see places like Afghanistan as, you know, two sets of uniforms, right? Those who wear the jersey of the Taliban and those who wore the jersey of the Afghan army supported by the U.S. over the years. But when you go to these villages, I imagine up close it looks quite different.
Right. And even in the villages like Baraki Barak that are supportive of the Taliban generally, many of the villagers had joined the Afghan army and had fought against their neighbors, the siblings sometimes, who were in the Taliban. Yeah. That is quite common. So the reality is much more complex. But I think on every side, there is this gratitude that the war is over for the first time in 43 years. Because remember, there has been a conflict in Afghanistan since the late 1970s that never really stopped. So in two generations, those villages did not know what peace means. And all of a sudden, roads are open. People can travel, you know, from Kandahar to pretty much anywhere, to Panjshir, without being stopped and without risking their lives. And it's a very new feeling that does give this sort of honeymoon period for the Taliban, who are unable to provide services, unable to have the economy running, and aren't really very good at running the state. But this relief that the killings have stopped does give them this window of opportunity for now. How long will it last? It depends on how well the economy does in the future.
I mean, just quickly, I do have to ask you, for families that had siblings fighting on either side of this conflict, what do those families look like now? Do we have siblings who are reconciled in many cases?
Well, you know, it's siblings are reconciled. Question is sort of the wider society. And the Taliban have proclaimed an amnesty, and the fighters you talk to will say, yes, we forgive them, but we don't forget them. And the fear is, for many on the other side, on the losing side, is that this amnesty will not last. And at some point in the future, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, this course will be settled. Mm. And so in Baraki Barak, you know, the villagers who were in the army came back to the village, looked around. You know, they were told they were forgiven, but nobody really stayed there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is Yaroslav Trofimov, Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Fascinating observations. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.